Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hey. Oh, there you go. What's that?
But do you drive, Miss Daisy?
No, I do not drive, Miss Daisy. That movie's terrible. It was terrible in 1989, and it's terrible now. Or 1988, whatever year.
I don't think I've ever seen it. And if I did see it, I probably saw it when it was new, so I don't remember it.
It's probably one of the most racist movies ever nominated for the Academy Award within the last, 40 years, let's just say. But it's racist for, like, not quite the way you think it is. It's not, like, overt racism. It's more like, oh, we're being nice to black people racism. And so it's racist in that kind of way, like that condescending, like, oh, black people and white people can get along as, the black person's driving the white person around, Like, oh, if only every black person can do one nice thing for every white person, like, the world would be a better place. Like, shut the hell up. Stupid. No, I use my back brace from when my back was broken for painting, so that's why I keep my spine straight when I'm painting, especially for long painting jags.
Right.
Jags.
Oh, we have stuff to talk about today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
And today, we're going to be talking about expense elves.
Expense elves?
Yeah. You got dark elves, which are delves, and wood elves, which are welves, and then you got expensive elves, which are expense elves.
Yes, nice.
Yes. I've claimed it here first, folks, the expense elves. I don't think anyone was
going to contest you on that.
What do you want to talk about first, Steve? We got a lot of stuff.
Do we?
Yeah, what's something that's...
Do we have a lot of stuff?
What's something that's tickling your taint when it comes to these minifigures?
Oh, about the elves specifically.
Or anything. Oh. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff.
I don't know. Stormcast just won the Las Vegas Open for Shadespire.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, for Shadespire. Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was like the Warhammer tournament or the Age of Sigmar tournament. I'm like, what? Really?
Oh, I don't know who won the Age of Sigmar tournament. I've been paying attention to Shadespire. I don't pay attention to Age of Sigmar like competitively, but I want to pay attention to the competitive game in it. So
Shadespire, great, but I mean, there's only four warbands for it. You really can't get that much variation with the four warbands.
Fuck yeah! Oh, Dan, what a morning.
Yeah, we're recording so early at 10:30 in the morning.
Is on a Sunday? That's early.
Surly.
By Adepticon, there'll be two more warbands.
There will be.
So
we can start off with that. They from the Las Vegas Open. I guess the Las Vegas Open is where they're doing like all of the big previews for fantasy for Warhammer now.
I guess it's a huge tournament. So
I guess I don't know. Whatever. I love Vegas. Vegas is like my favorite place in America currently. I would go there on vacation every year if I could because it's cheap. Everything is it's fake. But it's, like, designed to be so that you know it's fake. So, like, I have issues with Disney World, right? I know people love Disney, and that's fine. But the food at Disney is horrible.
It doesn't have gambling?
Disney is all the food is horrible. I think all the rides are just carnival rides that are just painted with Disney stuff on it. And I think the fact that they don't serve, like, alcohol at any place that you walk up to is awful.
You can get booze everywhere in Epcot.
That's Epcot. That's different. Mm. Like Magic Kingdom is where
Go. Magic Kingdom is for little children.
Yeah.
Like out of all the Disney parks, like the one that's actually just for little children is definitely Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think they're all for children.
You can find good stuff in Animal Kingdom and Epcot.
Like, yeah. I've been to them all.
Animal Kingdom has some great coasters too. That Yeti coaster is really fun.
It's all stupid. I mean, if
you just have no fun in your heart.
I don't.
You're just a bitter, withered old man.
If I want roller coasters, I could literally drive 45 minutes and go to Six Flags and pay less than Disney.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And have better roller coasters with shorter lines.
I don't know. The lines at Six Flags are pretty fucking long.
Yeah, they get it. Depends
like,
when you go.
Everywhere is like got pretty fucking long lines.
It depends where you go. But yeah. Yes, when you go, not where you go. It depends when you go.
But as I said, it's because you're a bitter old man and you have no fun in your heart.
No, because I love Las Vegas. I'll go gamble.
That's the most degenerate place in the world. It's made for bitter old men.
How long have you known me? Yeah.
It's made for bitter old men. So obviously you would go with Vegas.
I would not say I'm the most degenerate person you probably know.
You'd have two cigars in your hand and I gotta get on that craps table.
I love the craps. My favorite game in Vegas. Love playing craps. Love the roulette. I'm not a big card game guy, mainly because I think that
What about blackjack?
Blackjack's okay, but I think most like poker, it's all by douchey guys. Like ever since we had that poker explosion in the mid-2000s, poker's just been dominated by douches.
The poke explosion.
The poke explosion. You know, guys who wear sunglasses and fucking visors when they go there, thinking that they're gonna win big in Vegas. You're not gonna win big. You play with your buddies for a $20 pot. Let's get over this.
Like if you're trying to be that's the thing. If you're trying to win big with poker, you need to be at a poker tournament, which means you need like the $20,000
buy-in
to enter.
It's so unbelievably stupid. But no, I'm more of a dice guy. I play mini games. Of course, I'm a dice guy, tabletop guy. I understand dice. Me and dice have an understanding.
I'm a blackjackman.
Blackjackman.
Yeah, I'll just.
Well, you're a card guy. You've always been a card guy.
Yeah, I'll just do blackjack all day.
See how that works? Like you.
Well, blackjack also has the best odds for you to win.
No, craps does. Craps is the only game that you have a slight advantage over the house.
Blackjack does.
Advantage over the house of blackjack.
There totally is. Your odds are fine with blackjack.
Your odds are fine, but you don't have the advantage over the house in blackjack.
With craps, it's totally random.
Nope.
You're just rolling bones.
It's all about chip placement. So it's all about worker placement inside of craps.
Well, no wonder I don't like craps. I hate worker placement games.
Yeah. See, that's exactly what it is. Imagine me trying to explain that to my father. Well, I was trying to explain craps to him someday because he plays blackjack just like you, and Pai Gao.
But Pai Gao, I don't know what that is.
Pai Gao. Pai Gao is a game you go to lose that.
Oh, okay.
But no, he's a big blackjack player, and he always sees me going to the table and playing craps. And I usually I bet small and I win small, but I usually end up ahead. Every time I've played craps, generally I end up ahead. Even if it's by like $50, I'm always ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to explain it to him one time, and I'm like, "Well, it's all about chip placement. It's like at the beginning you have to place it here, and then after the dice roll, you place it here, here, or here, and then you win based off the rolls. Like this type, you'll give you better odds. This type will give you lower odds, and you can do some other stuff too." And my dad's just like, "I don't get it. It's worker placement, Dad. I don't get it."
I would win roulette in Fallout New Vegas because I had my luck at 10, so I would just put it somewhere and it would just win for me.
Oh, well, there you go. Too bad.
I don't have luck at 10 in real life.
Yeah, too bad you can't update your stats in real life.
That would be nice. Yeah. I'll update my luck.
Mine would all be charisma.
Luck is definitely the most degenerate. It adds to your critical, gives you better gambling.
I'm not arguing that luck's not great, but I would always be about the charisma if I could redo my stats.
I usually take charisma 1. It's definitely a dump stat.
Well, I mean, in any game where you have to use a gun, probably. But
only in the newer Fallouts, because that's usually a good thing with how to balance your like RPG design. So like. Yeah. So just in general of like a role-playing game design, Fallout was designed off of GURPS. The original Fallout was designed off of GURPS.
The generic universal role-playing system?
That's right. And Fallout's always had this issue, and this has always been a problem with Fallout, and this is a good thing if you're ever considering game design or doing RPGs, whatever, this is a good lesson for you. So Fallout has a charisma stat. It's got the special is your stats. So that's strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. Special. And charisma, obviously, is, you know, you're bartering, et cetera, et cetera. But Fallout is a skill-based game.
Yeah.
So you have a huge list of percentile-based skills. So you have, for your charisma skills, you have speech, et cetera, so on and so forth. Charisma only governs those skills. So because you gain skill points per level, intelligence is what gets you skill points. So intelligence is vastly more important than charisma when it comes to your charisma skills. So what you do is you just take your charisma, you put your charisma at 1, because it doesn't fucking matter, because the only thing it does is give you points towards those skills. Then you raise your intelligence, and then you have a bunch of skill points, so you can just pick, you can tag skills at the beginning of the game, which gives you a 30% bonus to all the skills. So if you want to play a talky guy, like if you want to play a charisma guy, you still put your charisma at 1 because you just tag speech and barter, your skills go way up, and then your first couple levels of your intelligence is super high, so you just, your first couple levels, you just dump all of your points into the speech and barter. So you have a super charismatic character because the game is skill-based and the stat doesn't matter. So that's an important thing to keep in mind when you're designing a game.
Yeah.
Because you want to, like, if you want to have a charismatic character, like, their charisma should be high. But there is no mechanical reason to make your charisma in that game high at all. Whatsoever. So that's something to think about. Just a game design thing.
You've been thinking about that for a while.
Oh, I always do. Like I think about the majority of the games I played were, you know, growing up were all tabletop RPGs on computer.
You want to know how you get people to dump their stats into charisma? Charisma is directly correlated to penis size in a game.
if
you say, like, all right, you know, it's like it says specifically in there, the higher your charisma, the larger your penis, you'll see all the guys just dump all their.
I would just take a one charisma.
Charisma
and get a robot dick.
Robo dick.
Yeah, be like, give me the robo dick.
Well, you can't get a robo dick in Dungeons and Dragons unless
I would get a magic dick.
Well, you could get maybe a magic.
Just get a
dick.
Wizard to do it and be like, wizard, make my dick grow, and you'd be like, okay,
engorgio.
Yeah, I'll use my speech skill that I got all my skill points from dumping charisma.
But I mean, a magic dick wouldn't be as good as just a normal dick because people will go, "That's just a magic dick."
No, they won't never know.
Oh, okay. You're gonna put all your points into bluff.
It's a clandestine magic dick.
Okay. What about you could get a dwarven made robo dick?
That'd be fine too.
Yeah, like a,
I could have both.
Like a clockwork dick.
I could have both in case there's an anti-magic, you gotta use it
and you crank it.
Yeah, in case there's an anti-magic aura, I can have the robo dick.
Okay. Well, it's not a robo dick. It's a clockwork dick.
The clockwork dick. Yes. The steam dick.
Steampunk dick.
It's got a little top hat, monocle.
You gotta have like a little like a brownie that shovels coal into it.
Yes,
so
yes.
That it works.
He's in the balls.
Yes, he's in the balls. You occasionally have to feed the brownie.
Yeah. He's stored in the balls. But yeah, so that's just something to think about when you're playing RPGs and like designing RPGs. Like, you know, you need to make your, and that's part of keeping it simple. Like, make everything relevant. Like, if you want to make it like White Wolf is one of the games that does it better in terms of just how the way the system works is White Wolf is stat plus skill roll. So like you take your strength plus brawl and that's how many dice you get. And that's a very good.
That's a better system.
Yeah. That's a very good system of like making everything important. Like your skill is important. Your stats are important. And it's also nice because you can overcome both with, like, you can be like, oh, I don't have a lot of brawl, but I'm a strong guy. So, you know, you get your extra dice. It balances out. And that's a better way to do
it. So you might be a terrible fighter, but you're really strong, so you might get lucky. And
right. You can wallop
one
someone.
Punch. Yeah, one punch.
You can hit him with a club.
hit him with some sort of cudgel.
And that's a good design because it makes everything important. And there's no stat in that game where you're just like, I don't need that stat. I'll never roll it. Yeah. And turns out you will roll it. Like, you'll roll it a lot with these various, you know, these various skills. So it's a good idea. And it's just like D&D. Like, there's no reason to take charisma unless you're playing a class that specifically uses charisma, like specifically. So like a paladin or I think a sorcerer's use. I don't know if sorcerers still use charisma. I really haven't paid attention to fifth, but like they use charisma as their attack bonus for spells. So like they'll take charisma. So it's kind of, charisma's always been a kind of weird stat to me.
What if I always just called it charisma?
Charisma? Well, that makes it sound like it's related to something with fire.
Yeah, charisma.
Yeah, like, is that your ability to control fire?
It's my ability to talk to fire.
Oh, what does it say? It's very angry.
I can convince it to burn people. That would be a great, like, I'm a fire whisperer. What do you do? I talk to the fire. I convince it to do what I want. But yes, so let's go back to the Las Vegas Open. They previewed the two new Shadespire warbands. Like, we already knew about the Skraven. We knew they were coming out. It's a 7-man warband.
Yes. The biggest warband to date.
The biggest war. No.
Because Undead, I think, is 6.
No, Undead is 7.
Oh, okay. So it's tied.
I think, actually, Skaven might be 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Undeadsmen.
Yeah. There's I think the Undead is the largest. And the... Well, and it,
I'm actually working on my Stormcast for Shadespire now.
Yes. They're a fun little warband to play.
I mean,
they're boring, but
I'm doing
whatever.
The...
We talked about that before.
I'm doing the turquoise...
What are they called? It's been a while.
They're like the Storms of Vigilance or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's the coolest looking color scheme for those guys by far.
What about mine? The Stone Spines of Sigmar.
Are you guys just golden boys?
Mine are golden boys, except I use hues of purple.
Yeah, I mean, gold is cool. Like gold and purple's cool, but I just really like that turquoise is just like I wouldn't paint a full army of it because it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's.
But for that's the thing that's awesome about Shadespire is just like. Yeah,
it's like three guys.
It's kind of a complicated paint scheme. It's three men.
It's three men's.
Yeah, seems fine.
And but we also got the what is it? The hammers, the dwarven hammers.
The fire slayers.
But they're, what are they called though?
Oh, Maxwell Silverhammer or whatever. Chosen axes.
The chosen axes. It's like they really have to have a name generator somewhere, like a random dice name generator for things. Because, I mean, seriously, how silly is that?
They look cool as fuck. The one dude's base is awesome with the giant skull on it.
Yeah,
they look really fucking
they're,
sick.
They look almost as if they're just the good counterpart to the orcs.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to see how they play. Because
orcs?
Because they're not. The thing is, they're not going to be like the orcs because the orcs are. Tough. They're very tough. Like they've got and they're about taking damage.
Yeah.
There's no way that those guys are gonna be about dealing damage. I wonder if they flip when they deal damage because that would be fucking insanely strong.
Flip when they deal damage.
Yeah, that would be a very strong ability, and that's one of the weaknesses of Khorne. Like, because Khorne requires dead models, so like playing against Stormcast can be very difficult with Khorne because like you need three dead models. So it's a lot of models to die. Yeah. When you're talking about a faction, you might only kill one, possibly, in the game.
Yeah, so Khorne versus undead would be...
It's a joke. You fucking annihilate undead. Like, Khorne versus undead is, I think, currently the most lopsided matchup. Like, I don't think there's a way that... Like, unless the Khorne player is extraordinarily unlucky or extraordinarily terrible or both... there's no way they'd lose to the undead.
What if
there's
just
no way.
They just didn't dump enough stat points into their luck.
Yeah, if they didn't, they might lose. Because I played against undead, and it was a fucking joke. Like, it wasn't even a game. It was just like, I guess you're dead. Like I just got next to him with two mans and just like, oh, yeah, I just killed your shit. Yeah.
I'm playing tomorrow night. I'm going to do some... beer and Shadespire.
Nice.
Hopefully it becomes a regular thing.
I was gonna start doing some like playtesting and stuff, but with the two new factions coming out before Adepticon, it would all be a waste. So yeah. I'm just gonna wait and see what happens with this.
And they're coming out next month, so it should
right.
be fine.
It should yeah. be there should be enough time to get enough games in to be like, okay, this is what I wanna do. I think if the other pieces of that special armor set come out.
Oh, the
Cura. It's currently the Curious, and I think the belt.
Yeah,
and
but you got to get all of the pieces
right.
to make it.
If those come out, I might try because I do the Voltron Khorne list where like everything goes on Gareth, and he's just like a fucking monster. He can get up to currently he can get up to three dodge dice, and he can also take a hit, roll a dice to cancel it. Like he's if he gets his shit, like he's fucking ridiculous. So I'm thinking if those come out, I'll probably add them into my list and just have the super like an even more Voltron-y Voltron.
There you go.
And I think that'll be pretty good, but we'll see. I also would like some more easy scoring glory points because the way I designed
glory
the list.
Glory holes.
Yeah. Well, the way I designed the list is like I tried to pick the absolute fastest and easiest points to score. Just because I want to get those points to get his equipment on, like, right away.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty effective, so we'll see. I'm interested to see what the two other lists bring. And, fuck, for all I know, the two lists will be super strong. Maybe I want to play one of them. Like, the Skaven might be great. I might end up wanting to play
them.
They're
the only ones with ranged attacks.
Yeah, which is, Khorne has one guy with a ranged attack.
No, these guys are going to have lots of ranged attacks.
Yeah, they're going to have lots of, because aren't they Eshin?
I think they're just generic Skaven.
Okay.
But they're... Eshin-esque.
Yeah, so they'll have daggers and shit.
No, yeah, a little throwing stars and everything like that. Yeah. Also previewed at the open was the Expense Elves.
Yes.
The nude, the Marathi.
Can we call them Expense Elves yet? We don't know how much they're going to cost.
They're going to cost a shit ton, Steve. The Witch Elves themselves were the most expensive.
The Witch Elves are ludicrous.
$70 for that box
when it
came out.
The Witch Elves are absolutely ludicrous.
For a box of 10,
yes.
70.
Can't agree. But the Witch Elves were still made when the price points were fucking going stupid.
Yeah. Two things on that one. One, the price point is ridiculously high in those. So that's going to be your core unit. Those are going to be your battle line. So you're going to have $70. They're never going to mark down a box set.
But they might do a start collecting.
If they do a start collecting, that might be beneficial.
Because just like the Fire Slayers have a start collecting now, which makes them actually like pocketbook-wise viable. Like you buy two start collecting boxes of Fire Slayers and your army's almost ready.
No, not even close. I will disagree with you because
you get two of those big ass dragons. You have
and then you get 20 of the regular Fire Slayers, which is literally one unit.
Aren't there 15 guys? I thought there were 10 of the regular and 5 special guys.
No, you only, so in the start collecting box, you get 10 of the dudes, And essentially in that box set, even though it's a decent price, you only get two box sets worth. You get the 10-man unit, and then you get the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
The dragon contains three
special... get a character.
Well, that's only... You get all those characters in the dragon. So that's three characters that come with the dragon. You get the guy who rides the dragon, and then you get the two optional models that could go on the dragon. One's like a... You get a rune father, a rune son, and then the... Whatever the magic dude is.
So then you just grab a box of the elite guys, and then you just take some regular dwarf allies with guns. Army done.
Well, that's a little... Yes, I agree with that. However, it's like, if you want to run a Fire Slayer army, it's still... one of the more expensive armies to collect.
I also think a pure Fire Slayer army is actually not good. Like, I think you need some other Dwarven allies.
Well, I think there's very few armies that was just pure is going to be good.
Most of the ones with new books are fine to be by themselves.
Well, fine, yes.
But like, for very narrow design armies like Fire Slayers, where they're like all run up chop, like, you want to have
you get some gun
support.
Dudes. You get
they throw the axes, right?
No, yeah, well, they throw the axes, but there's actually a unit that has guns.
Really?
Yeah.
In Fire Slayers?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's like because Fire Slayers have three boxes. They have the regular dudes, they have the dudes with the guns, which is a 5-man box, and then which I think is a $40 box set, and then you have the dragon dude.
Okay. You could do it.
You could.
It. And it would be, I would say it'd be a little more expensive than
because I
than
think
normal.
I think right now, in order to run a Fire Slayer army, I was looking at it, you need somewhere between 40 and 60 models of the regular Fire Slayer dudes. So that's six box sets. So, and that's like $400 right there just for that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, and it's boring as shit too.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I have to paint up 60 of these same guys. Yeah. Those guys are annoying as hell to put together.
Mixed dwarves are the plan for me.
Yeah.
Well, if I was going to play them, like, there was no way I wouldn't do mixed dwarves. I think a mixed army, like, I think that's definitely, like, the allies rules are there for a reason, and they're there to cover your army's weaknesses. And I think putting...
Yeah, but I mean, even still, you're only running, like, 200 points worth of allies.
You can do 400. In a 2,000-point game, you can do 400 points allies.
Yeah, okay, 2,000-point game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
2,000 is still the standard.
Yeah. But I would just the way that I'm looking at it, I'm just like, Jesus. But the expense itself. So let's look, the Daughters of Marathi or whatever they're called. Daughters of Cain. Daughters of Cain.
Yeah. It looks fucking sick. They look awesome. They look so fucking cool.
So you get the Witch Elves of your battle line. Then you're going to get the second box, which is going to be the alternative kind of like ogre size units of either Snake Girls or Wing Girls.
Do you think that's the same kit?
I think that's the same kit.
I'm interested. That was one thing I know. I was wondering to see if there'd be, because they're so different. Like, those models are so different from one another. I was almost certain that they were going to be different kits.
They might be. I'm going to say, well, here's the thing, is they only preview the two kits. They preview the Harpies and then the Gorgons. So yeah. The Harpies have
and
wings.
Then, and then they hinted at some sort of giant model, which
well,
I think is
Marathi.
The new Marathi.
Yeah. They didn't even really hint. They showed that thing full on.
Well, they like scroll up and you don't see the front of it.
Oh, no. There's pictures of it.
Oh, there's pictures? Okay. I only watched the video.
Yeah. No, so they got the pictures of it. It's a full-on Marathi with a snake tail, and she's got, like, weirdo wings going on. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that.
She looks fucking cool as shit.
It's a pretty cool model. That will cost you some money. That'll probably cost you $105.
We'll see.
And it's going to be a small model, too.
You know, for example, Maggotkin. I actually thought everything in the Maggotkin was a reasonable amount of money for workshop models, again, of course.
Yeah, except the...
Except the Grand Queen one. So expensive. Like, why?
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it's, like, $35 more than it should be is, like, where we're at, like, for that. So, you know, I mean, there's obviously workarounds, but it's still kind of like, why is it so expensive?
Yeah.
But it is really big. It's actually bigger than I thought it was.
Oh, yeah? Did you get yours yet?
Yeah, I have them. They're all in box.
Oh. It's bigger than you thought.
Yeah, it's bigger than I thought. Now, I got to finish these Blight Kings first, and then I've got the Blight Kings, and then I've got the three Magoth Riders, my Shrine, and the Glotkin to paint up. Once that's done, then I'll be on to the new stuff, the new models, the new beasts and all that.
You and your Nurgle obsession, I swear.
I mean, it's you get...
Tale as old as time.
You get a huge variety. The models are fucking sweet.
Steve, he loves that slime.
I do. And I have an army for 40K and for Age of Sigmar off of one army.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh yeah, I want to play 40K. Sure, I'll just use my Nurgle demons.
Steve and the Nurgles.
Papa Nurgle.
Do 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 do. But yes, these
fucking sweet.
They're probably gonna. My prediction: they're gonna sell those Gorgons / Harpies in three model boxes. Probably gonna be about $60 for the set. You're probably gonna need at least six of each.
You'll see. Well, there's also the Cav too.
Well, the Cav are the Doomfire Cav that are based off the Shadow Riders, or whatever that is. So that set's already out there. You can get that. But those are the Doomfire Warlocks, which are fucking insane in the rules. Right. They're I don't know if you saw that. Let me see.
I have not.
They're brutal because no one bought them because they're ugly ass models. So of course they had to make the rules amazing so that people would buy them.
I was really surprised by some of the weird buffs and nerfs in the Maggotkin book, to be honest. Like, Plague Bearers got more expensive in points by a lot. And they removed the discount for taking bigger units for Plague Bearers. I don't know if you saw that, but like, I thought that was a pretty huge stealth nerf, because originally Plague Bearers were 100 points, and then if you took up to 300, they would go to 270. So you'd get a 30-point discount for taking three. Now, they're 120 points per 10 flat. Like, you get no discount if you make the units bigger.
Oh, I think they actually nerfed these guys, because this is slightly different, but it's not terrible. So Doomfire, they get the spell Doombolt. Doombolt has a casting value of 5. If successfully cast, pick a visible unit within 18 inches. Target unit suffers D3 mortal wounds if the casting unit has less than 5 models. D6 if it has 5 to 9. 6 mortal wounds if it has 10 or more models.
That's a unit? That's very strong.
Exactly. But I think it's been nerfed even more, because I remember that they used to have a, if I'm not, maybe I could be thinking of something else, but they used to have something where it was like an auto attack, like an auto shooting attack, but they may have nerfed it with one of the General's Compendiums, because I was looking at it and I was like, fuck, these guys are great. I should get them for my, no, wait, why would I buy them? These models are ugly as sin.
I didn't think they were that bad, but
no,
I
they're not
saw.
They're not terrible, but I'm not a huge fan of them.
Yeah, no. And Beasts of Nurgle got a huge nerf. Beasts of Nurgle are weird, because like, they're still extremely strong. They're no longer 65 points, they're 100 points, so that was a big nerf. And then their slime trail got changed. It's not as good as it the slime trail. It's still a strong rule, but it only it's vice versa now, because it used to work. It would trigger if you got charged. So like, if you charged me with a unit, like your units would have to roll to like see if they get hurt. Now it works when the Beast of Nurgle retreats.
Oh.
So it's like, it's still there. It's totally still there, but
it's only if
it's when
retreat.
He runs instead of when he gets charged. So, yeah. But the Beast of Nurgle is still very strong. Like I said, that was the most broken unit the most unbalanced unit for Nurgle by far, because like 65 points for that model was absolutely stupid, because I would take 6 of them as single units for my list, and like, it was very dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
So now they're 100 points, so taking 6 of them is like a massive investment. So I only got 3 of the new Beasts of Nurgle, and now I'll be using the Plague Toads as actual Plague Toads.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah. I can't really say more about the Daughters of Cain until they come out and we get previews of the rules.
Yeah, they look sweet.
They'll be fine. I think they're going to be they're going to be a glass hammer unit. They're going to run up. Like, your the witches are going to run up and they're going to throw a lot of dice and they're going to be able to die. The Gorgons are probably going to be, shooty.
Yeah.
Shooty granite blocks. They're going to be really hard to kill. And your harpies are going to be your flying around killing stuff unit.
Fast attack smashes.
Yeah. And you get the same thing with the Doombolts.
I'm interested to see if they have another big model, too.
I'll be interested in seeing what characters they get. Oh, and they have the fucking blood.
The cauldron. The
cauldron of blood. Yeah.
And then there's
They're not getting anything bigger than that. Yeah. I mean, they'll still have the Gorgon. They'll probably still get the mirror, which is a stupid model. I hate that model so much. I hate the new Ultra
The Gorgon's
blood.
Really cool, though.
Yeah, the Gorgon's cool.
I like the cauldron. The statue's really cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the statue's the only cool part of it. It's kind of silly looking.
The weird, like, stare. Well, I think it's very cool looking. It's just very weird when you think of it as, like, they bring it around to battle, because there's, like, stairs and shit on
it. Yeah, and, like, are they pushing this thing? Are they pulling this thing? Does it have its own motor? Is there some dude driving it? Like,
I think it moves. I think it moves with blood magic. Either that, or it's parade float style, and there's definitely, like, a guy inside, like, pushing.
There's, like, a little car. Like, yeah. The parade float style.
Like, look out! The altar is coming!
Well, I mean, that's what I always liked at least about the Empire stuff, is Empires had horses pulling it. You know, it was or like the altar.
There's also the stank.
Yeah, the stank. But the stank is mechanical.
That's right.
Like, and like the corn stuff too, or the cast stuff too, is he always has like a giant pulling it or something like that, which is great. But it's like, that's the only thing where you're kind of like, well, how did they get this here? Like,
Yeah. Well, doesn't it not move? Like, I thought the whole thing was like...
No, it moves now.
Doesn't? Oh,
it's
okay.
Got wheels. It moves.
That's weird. Well, someone probably just pushes it, you know. Get behind there. Push it.
Yeah.
But push it real good. It's probably like the Skaven Bells, because the Skaven Bells don't have anything moving it. Like...
Yeah, no, but, well, they used to have it in the rules that you would have...
Unit would move it.
Yeah, the unit would move it, which was a cool rule because then you just put it inside of a unit, and that was it. But the Altar of Blood never had that, at least all the way. I don't know. I never played 8th when the new model came out, so
yeah.
But it was always a thing that just went in place during 6th, which was
I always thought the cauldron was immobile, but I don't know.
Well, the cauldron was immobile in 6th.
Okay, yeah, because you just stuck it down, and it's like that's where it is.
Yeah. I have mine still, the stupid-ass cauldron. He's got two hands out. Two hands out.
Oh, right.
Two hands out.
That's funny.
One's got a heart, one's got a knife.
Yep. Knifey heart. I've seen you played knifey hearty before.
40K, you got the
Custodes?
The Custodes.
The new Cryptek model for Necrons.
Because with Custodes, it was like, you know what people want to play? More space marines.
The jet bikes are pretty fucking cool.
Well, those are cool.
And it looks like you can play an all jet bike list with them, which is pretty sweet.
I mean, any army that looks like a bunch of flying penises is going to be okay.
Hell yeah. And they got eagles on the front of them.
Eagle penises!
So they're not only dicks, but they're freedom dicks.
So you could call them like the dicks of the emperor.
That's right. The freedom dicks.
The freedom dicks. What would be a better name than dicks of the emperor? The emperor's cocks.
The emperor's shafty sons.
The shafty sons.
Yeah, they're the shafty sons.
the emperor. You should make it so that there's like fists on the front.
Nice.
So, well, maybe if I do an imperial fists army,
the emperor's fisty boys.
The fisty boys. I should do that if I do a imperial fists army. I should get a bunch of like big fists to put on the front of rhinos.
So
you got
stupid.
Fisted.
And what you should do is just make an actual fist with wheels and make that your rhinos. Just plaster cast your own fist and
just
give it windows.
I can't do my own fist. I got small hands. I need like a big like
do you
meaty
drink, do
fist.
You, do you drink your water with two hands? Like
I do.
Like a child, like a little baby.
Yeah. I always laugh at that because like, my wife is my height, but her hands are just about the same size as my hands. I have very very small hands for an adult male. But I have very large palms. Hmm. I have wide palms, but very stubby fingers.
Well, then get someone with big hands, plaster cast their fist, give it windows, put wheels on it.
Give it windows.
Yeah. But,
no, I'm going to put doors on it. I'm going to put imperial fist doors on
the side.
You got to
put doors on the sides. And
I'm
going to
put fists on the side of the fist.
If you don't put windows on the front, they can't see where they're driving the fist.
Well, they don't need to see. They just know they got to go forward.
And then just spray it red.
Just spray it.
Nothing else.
No, no, no. It's going to be yellow, but I'm going to splatter red on there.
Right on.
Splatter. It's all about splatter paint.
Right. Imperial fists. I was thinking crimson fists.
Oh yes,
because they have the red fists.
Well, that would be the secondary army.
Yes, the successor chapter.
I would like it if they had just like little Lego wheels on it instead of like the treads. Just little Lego wheels.
Just the squishy Lego wheels.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to chew on those when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, everyone did.
Yeah, they were really fun to chew on.
Yeah, I'd spray it with like splatter the blood and maybe a little bit of brown. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
Mostly red, though.
All right,
mostly
red.
Yeah. Game Classy, the only gaming
podcast. Fisty Boys.
The only gaming podcast that talks about fisting.
That's right.
I'm sure there's other ones.
There's probably the Fisting Hour with Mel and Wank, which is like a D&D podcast, but they only talk about fisting.
Yes. Wait, how do I not know about this, and why am I not listening to it?
I don't know. It's a really obscure Ecuadorian podcast.
All right, today we are talking about more fisting when it comes to Dungeons & Dragons.
Paladin fists.
Paladin fists. We are also going to talk about half-orc fists. Are they more like human fists or are they more like orc fists?
I say one is orc, one is human.
Now we put on our fancy hats like all Ecuadorians do. No, that's Mexican.
That's Mexican.
Yeah, and I can't think of any Ecuadorian
music.
Can't
even get your racism right.
I know.
Ecuadorians do plantains.
Yes. Well, they all kind of do plantains.
I love plantains.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans do plantains.
I fucking love plantains. It's so good.
I work by a lot of great Puerto Rican restaurants.
Do you eat plantains a lot?
No, because they are incredibly heavy and...
Lots of sugar.
Lots of sugar, very very greasy, especially because when you eat the tostones, it's... You can't only eat a couple of those.
Yeah, Hispanic food is really good, but holy fuck, like it's heavy as shit. Like there is no wonder
it's greasy.
There is no wonder that Mexicans are so fat. Like, like they're like per capita, they're fatter than America.
Yeah, and with the original Coca-Cola.
Right. And it, and like, it's not like really a knock. It's just like their food is really good, and it's like, it's super calorie dense. Like you could eat, you could definitely eat a burrito a day and nothing else and probably gain weight.
Probably. I would not doubt it.
Yeah, that is like the heaviest, that is definitely the heaviest cuisine out there.
Guacamole.
Yeah. Yeah. Beans, like everything's heavy. Yeah. There's tons of carbs, tons of fat, like
tons of protein too.
Tons of protein. Yeah, it's tons of everything. I said it's the heaviest cuisine out there. I can't think of any other
soul food.
Soul food, yeah. Soul food's pretty fucking heavy. Fried everything and then like carbs. I love collard greens.
Soul food to me, it's like I can have once a year, and then I'm set for it for the rest of the year. I've just, every time I eat it, I'm just like on the floor going,
yeah.
Give me some more pig's knuckle.
I do like soul food, except I do hate chicken and waffles. I think that's awful.
I love chicken and waffles.
I don't like any.
Chicken and waffles is not quite soul food. I mean, it is a little bit.
They have chicken. If you go to a soul food restaurant, they're going to have chicken and waffles there.
Yeah.
Anything that's meat and sweet, like, get it the fuck away from me. I can't stand that.
Fried chicken, a little bit of syrup on it.
Oh, that's so disgusting. Like, I think it's disgusting when people dip their sausage in, like, breakfast sausage in syrup. I think that is... And I saw someone do it with bacon. I wanted to vom. So fucking gross. Yeah. Meat, sweetness and meat should never be together. Ever.
What about ham and pineapple?
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God. Why would you say that about ham and pineapple?
Awful. There should never be a sweet combination with meat, ever.
You never use, like, pineapple juice or, like, an apple juice with your steak?
No, absolutely fucking not.
Marinade your steak?
No. Oh, that's disgusting.
It's good time.
Even with pork chops. You have the pork chop and applesauce. I eat the entire pork chop, call it a day. Then I have the applesauce. No mixing.
I like taking a little apple cider.
And applesauce isn't particularly sweet.
I like taking a little apple cider vinegar, putting a pork chop in there, letting it marinate. That acid breaks down
apple
the protein.
Apple cider vinegar isn't sweet.
It's still got the apple-y taste.
It's got an apple flavor, but it's not like sweet. Apples are weird because there's apples that are very sweet, and then there are apples that are very bitter.
Welcome to Granny Smith's Apples Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the different types of apples.
A bitter apple with pork chop.
Tart.
Yeah, tart. That might work. I might be okay with that. But just sweetness, like, it's just like, dude, just drink the sugar.
Just drink the sugar.
Just drink the sugar. Yeah. Yeah. The obsession with making things sweet is not my parte.
So
it's like, why don't you just make a cake? Like, why don't you just put the steak in the middle of a cake, bake it, and there you go.
Steak cake?
Steak cake.
I like this idea.
See?
Steak cake. So custodes. Yeah. Cause that's what everybody wants. Everybody wanted more Space Marine shit. They're just fancy boy Space Marines, which were Grey Knights, but now it's custodes.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Duh.
I just.
Well, everyone's wanted the custodes for a very long time.
Well, yeah.
It's definitely a fan service release.
I know. It's like, these fan service releases are kind of annoying in a lot of parts because they're not stopping with it. It's like, fan service training stopping anytime soon. Woo, woo.
I mean, why would you? It's like, hey, you're giving people all the stuff they want and they're buying it. Let's stop doing that.
Well, I mean, I think my problem is that it's all Imperium. And I always have problems in my head justifying Imperium versus Imperium games. I'll play and everything like that. But yeah. I mean, like, in terms of what they're adding to the universe, it's like, oh, you get Custodes. Great. Guess what the next big release is going to be, Steve? It's going to be Sisters of Battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not talking like the other codexes that are coming out. It's going to be Sisters of Battle. It's going to be the next big new army that's going to come out, which is another Imperium release. I'm on book 4 of the Horus Heresy now, Flight of the Eisenstein. And they start off by the Death Guard are fighting this alien race. And they're essentially, not the old ones, what's the Lovecraftian one that are like tubes, but they got like big tentacles coming out of them? Is it the...
Flying polyps?
Yeah, like the flying polyps. But isn't there like a special, like, doesn't have a name for them?
Oh,
like,
there's a specific race. They're like the Yagathi or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
They're essentially, they're fighting them,
is what they're doing. They're brains with tentacles attached.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was
what
like,
the fuck are they called? I don't know. They're a weird made up word.
Yeah. But I was like, why doesn't Games Workshop do something cool like that? Like something just fucking out of nowhere crazy. They don't have to do like a massive army, but just like one of these small little like side armies. Like if you want to have 1,000 points, like this is an army. Like I think that's how Games Workshop should really start delineating their armies, because that's what they're doing with Age of Sigmar.
I think it'd be interesting if they released an ally army.
Yeah.
Like, so those things, those like weird gloppy gloops, yeah. they could release those, but strictly as an ally army. So it's like, it's made to take like 400 points of it. Like, and that's it. Like, there's nothing else.
I would say like, that's what, because that's what they're doing with Age of Sigmar. Is Age of Sigmar is really becoming like, we're releasing 1,000-point ally armies. These armies are great to play at like 1,000 points, but if you go higher than 1,000 points, they're going to get really boring to play really mm-hmm. fast, because it's going to be a lot of the same shit. That's what they need to do for 40K is smaller armies. Like, where's Kroot? Kroot haven't been around since, like, what, 5th edition, 6th edition?
No, I mean, they still have their, like, their choices in the Tau list.
I don't think they do. They don't exist. Those models don't exist.
No? Yeah.
No. Because they went all plastic, and all the Kroot stuff is metal.
Except for their basic unit.
Yeah, except
for
the basic unit. So that's why they're not around anymore. Because they haven't decided to release plastic Krootoxes or anything like that.
Delicious croutons.
Delicious croutons. Croutons. But yes, so that's what they need to do. They need to start coming out with some like weird, funky shit. That'd be great.
Am Kroot.
Well, they had the technocracy in the first or second Horus Heresy book. And I was like, oh, that'd be really... That sounds like a really fucking cool army. Or
isn't that the Skitarii?
No, that's the Skitarii are the Adeptus Custodes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the technocracy was like... They're just humans, but they're anti-Imperium humans.
Okay.
Or the other one, there was one, the Warsingers, that are kind of chaos-y, that they're on Istvan 3, that were in the third book. But they come out... Like, they're describing them, they have, like, glass armor. It looks like reflective glass armor.
That's
and they
cool.
have like they have big reflective glass glaives, and I was like, that sounds like awesome. Why can't something like that, like, I'm thinking in my head, like, how the fuck would you paint glass? Like, that'd be just be really fucking cool looking. I think
you could do that with clear plastic, like actually do like a very like gimmicky looking, like, you know how they did the Necrons with the rods.
Yeah.
They could do something like that for that army, where like you build the model and you clip on the fucking glass armor,
or you could get like little like reflective stickers that you put on there.
Oh yes, yeah, that would work as well.
Yeah, so you paint like all of like the little parts in between, and then you put that on there or something like that. It doesn't matter. And they said it looks like stained glass. I'm like, oh, that'd be really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, Games Workshop's never gonna do that.
Probably not.
No. Because it got more Space Marines to put out.
Well,
Space Marines.
You know what? It's people won't stop buying the Space Marines, so it's like, if it ain't people, broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone should have a Space Marine. I mean, not everyone, but anyone who plays 40K should have a Space Marine army, and then whatever army they want to play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what they do with Stormcast. That's why Stormcast are in every box set, because Games Workshop wants everyone to have Stormcast and someone else to, and for the other one.
Well, I mean, they're a really good army to learn the game with.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that'll never change. Like, the flagship armies are always very good armies to learn the game with, because it's like, oh, yeah, they're simple, they're straightforward. They don't ever have anything that's really, like, weird. Like, they don't have, like, they have their own tricks, but they don't have tricks in, like, the same level as other lists. Like, playing Tau is totally different than playing Space Marines.
Tau.
And, like, Tau, you have to, like, list build very precisely, or you're going to get washed. So, with Space Marines, you're just like, yep, take a hero, take a couple squads, a tank, and, you know, you've got a list that, like, can win games. So, there's that. All right. Why are you making out with your microphone?
I don't know.
Oh, all right. Very good.
All right. Yeah, so I've started my next... army that I'm painting, and it's going to be Sons of Horus from the Horus Heresy.
Nice.
But I'm not going to play 30K, because 30K is stupid. I'm going to make the army 40K.
Okay, that's another big reason for the Custodes, because...
They already have the models for them.
Yeah, 30K. Yeah.
Which is funny, because they have the Sisters of Silence, but they're not going to do anything with them. They might... I'd put money on the fact that they might be in the Sisters of Battle...
Codex.
As, like, some sort of,
elite
like...
Elite choice, probably.
Yeah, something like that. Like, some leftover, holdover. Like, these are Sisters of Battle that wear the armor of the, you know, whoever they had back in the day. But nothing yet. Because people still... Where's my Sisters of Battle army? Where's my Sisters of Battle army? Where's the Sisters of Battle?
Well,
I need them in their booby armor.
The Sisters were fucking insanely strong, I think, in 4th, in Parking Lot Edition 40K.
Yeah.
Like, they were...
Well, they had great rhinos.
Well, I think they were the best army in the game, but the list to make them the best army in the game was so expensive, no one ever played it.
Haha, except for the guys who are perverts.
One dude played it, and I believe he fucking shit on everyone at every tournament he went to.
I bet you he was a pervert, prevert.
I don't know. They're not dominatrixy enough for me.
Yeah, well, I agree as well. But taming otherwise. So let's move on to something else that's going to make James angry. Star Wars talk.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Why are we talking about Star Wars?
Lots of Star Wars. So Fantasy Flight is putting out the what is it called? A 30th anniversary of the West Wind Star Wars game. Which is incredibly stupid because you can go to any used bookstore and buy a copy of that for $10.
Yeah, if that much.
Yeah, if that much. There are super cheap to get online.
Yeah.
The original version that they're releasing
But Fantasy Flight is known for making horrible business decisions repeatedly.
Yeah. It's not a very good version of that game either. The second edition was the edition.
Mm-hmm.
The first edition, fine, just not really that great. The second edition streamlined those rules. And I'm hoping that what they do with it is they release this new edition, but everything is done with specialized Fantasy Flight dice.
Nice. it's the same rules, but you have to use special dice.
Yes. So that way
you need to roll lightsabers.
Which is funny because using a lightsaber in that game is damn near impossible.
I fucking hate their special dice. I've always hated their special dice. And they put it in every fucking RPG. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Well,
it's like, dude, just use regular fucking dice.
I think it would be great if they just used like a D6, but everything is written in the rule book with like funny symbols. And it's just the funny symbols.
You have to translate it.
So you have to translate it. So you have to. So you could use.
What's a lightsaber mean? That's a 3. What?
Yeah. It's something like, not even like, it's not even that clear. Because a lightsaber is a 3, you'd be able to say, oh, lightsaber 3. No.
You rolled 3 blasters. I rolled a lightsaber. Nope.
No, it would be like a C, but with like 3 dots inside of it. And then on the outside, like an apostrophe. So it's like something that your brain is not used to translating. So it's like reading the Cryptonomicon. Like you're just like trying to understand what's going on. So, like, that's a 3. Okay, how do I remember that's a 3? It's physically impossible. You can't. But, yeah, they're doing that, which I thought was funny and kind of silly.
Yeah, very stupid.
It's I don't understand it because there's not a huge demand for it.
No,
those books exist,
mm-hmm.
and they're very easy to get a copy of.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just sold my copy of it because I was like, I'm done with this.
Smart.
I sold all of the West Wind stuff that I had, and I made like $100 off of it.
Yeah, it's not valuable.
It's not. And also, we had a who was it? Brandon asked us a question about Star Wars Legion. How important is Star Wars themed terrain to the game? Do you think?
I don't know. I don't understand that question. Like,
for Star Wars Legion, when the mini game when it comes out, how important is it to have Star Wars themed terrain?
What's a Star Wars themed terrain? Like, they just fight on planets. There's nothing themed
trees.
About it.
Yeah. Well, like maybe like an Endor bunker or like a Tatooine hut.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I get. I mean, I would say it is no more or less important than any other miniatures game. So, like, you can play tons of games of 40K or fantasy with nothing but forests and hills, or you can play with like Imperial bunkers. So, I would say it's about as important as any other minis game. So, it is up to you. Unless there's a shit, like, well, that's the thing. Unless there's a shit ton of special rules for the fucking. Yeah. Special terrain, so who knows?
Here's the thing. Star Wars Legion.
It's a dead game already. It's a two-faction fucking miniatures game. It's dead.
Oh, no. They're releasing Scum and Villainy for it.
I'm sorry, a three-faction miniatures game. Whoa! What variety?
My Star Wars Legion, it's all about people who love Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I've talked about this on the podcast before. I will go see the movies. I enjoy the movies. I enjoy the cartoons on TV. However, I don't. The level of fanaticism that has been reaching in the last few years is so beyond me that I just can't understand it. Like, we're to the point where people will just buy a Star Wars miniatures game because it has Star Wars on it.
That's crazy.
It makes no sense to me because I'm the type of guy that will see this game. I see Star Wars Legion. I say, oh, this is a dumb game. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to play this game.
You can only get away with a low faction game if you also have a very low model requirement per army, like X-Wing. X-Wing is only 3 factions, but you can play...
Okay, well, let's be fair. X-Wing's only 2 factions.
Well, no, because the Scum and Villainy is pretty real in that game. Pretty sure.
It's pretty real.
Pretty sure that they're
shit
pretty...
just got real, Steve.
Pretty sure that they're pretty strong, and they released a lot of shit for them, because they released every Bounty Hunter's ship. And again, it becomes a much more real faction, because you only use, like, 2 to 3 ships in your list.
Yeah.
So the fact that there are, like, 7 Bounty Hunter ships and 2 generic Scum and Villainy ships means it's a fully-fledged faction.
Well, so... Let's look at this, too.
I mean, I'm not advocating for X-Wing. I don't think anyone should play it, but... I'm just saying that it only works because you don't need a lot of stuff. But like with fucking like how are you going to release anything past like so Legion? Let's just talk it like fucking brass tacks. Yes. Let's talk it sales.
Brass tacks.
So you've got stormtroopers, snowtroopers, desert troopers. That's it.
Well, and forest scout troopers.
Yes. Well, that's a separate unit. Like your basic infantry is that. Right. Scout troopers on your bikes. Sure. Okay, your empire is done. You're fucking done. Like you could then.
What about the E-Web blaster, Steve?
You could sure. That's an attachment for one of those units.
What about dark troopers?
I don't think dark troopers are in canon anymore. So there's no dark troopers.
Oh,
and then you have your characters. So you have Vader, and then you have maybe Phasma or whatever.
No, there's the Phasma's the new order.
It's just
this is just Empire.
Empire. Okay. So then you have
because if they were smart, they would do prequel stuff, and you could do robos. So, and racists.
So you
is
have
that regal? Is that regal?
I will make it regal. I mean legal.
I just when I rewatch it.
So you have an AT-ST.
Yeah.
As your vehicle because you can't do anything big. All of the Empire vehicles are retarded huge, and you can't do that for because on a miniatures game like of this scale.
There's certain things that you could use, but they're not fun.
Yeah. So you have AT-ST and speeder bikes for
yes.
thing, and then for Rebels you have also speeder bikes, and they don't get.
Yeah, you get the snow speeder.
The snow speeder is probably too big.
No, it's in the game already.
Is it? Okay.
They previewed it.
So snow speeder versus ATST.
You get the boob nipple gun.
Yeah, the weird fucking boob nipple gun. It's like that goes like whoa, 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 and the nipple retracts into the boob.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very strange. Yeah. So fucking rebels. You have what? You have fucking generic ass rebels with the stupid fucking bra cup hat.
Yeah.
I don't know any way to describe it.
The booby hat.
Then you have the rebels on fucking Endor.
Well, you got snow rebels,
and the snow rebels. That's it. Again, that's it. And now that we've done describing those things, your fucking game is done. There's nothing else you can possibly
your heroes.
Release. So the game is just gonna release its infantry in the first year, and then nothing but heroes for the rest of all time.
Yep.
Yeah. It's there's no future for that game. It is that game. It'll be a flash in the pan at best. There's no future for it.
Well,
absolutely not. No fucking way.
And he also. Brandon's second question is proxying games before rules are actually released normal or crazy or just something officially filthy casuals will not understand?
Proxy games?
Yes.
No, people, if their rules are out,
but the rules
it.
Are not out. They're basing these proxy games based upon like demos and videos.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not weird. I mean, play whatever games you want, but like if you're, I guess it's like, pointless.
Here's some of the other pointless things that are with this game too. If you wanted to play a Star Wars minigame, there are plenty of the old blind box games that you could find. Like those figures are out there.
There's also the Imperial Assault, which is a fine
Imperial
game.
Imperial Assault, which is actually I think a better game in a lot of ways because it's small, it's contained, it's mission based. It's a dungeon crawl. It's not even a dungeon crawl. Really.
It's Descent. It's literally Star Wars Descent.
Yeah, and so I think coming up with your own rules for Star Wars is a little bit better because you can make it actually scenario based.
Because
one of the nice things is that if you take the little blind box ones, who made those WizKids?
No, that was Wizards of the Coast.
You take those Wizards of the Coast ones, and then you use like the toy ATSTs from the Star Wars, the actual like Star Wars. It's like that's the actual size of what they should be.
Get a good scale.
Yeah, and then you can actually
even use AT-ATs with that.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant, AT-ATs, not the AT-STs.
Because they're small, because the Wizards of the Coast figures are smaller than 28mm heroic.
Yeah, so you could actually do some of this stuff and make it look cool. Like, I've seen numerous Star Wars games done at, like, Adepticon and other gaming conventions that look amazing because they're using those smaller figures, like, I'd say they're about 20mm scale, that look great. But yeah, then you have these like this coming out. I'm just like, why? What's the point?
They're just trying to. Fantasy Flight and Asmodee. Their business policy, their models, the way they're working is they're throwing shit at the wall, left and right, and seeing what sticks. And that's all they're doing. They're just fucking whipping more shit out. They dump so much product out, and so much of it is trash. Like even a game that should have been a smash hit, Legend of the Five Rings. I'm pretty sure it's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like that game should have been huge, but from what I understand, it sucked. Like it's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. So, you know, Scorpion political deck memes aside, that was a good game, and I believe it is not good under their care, which is, you know, they also dumped a shit ton of it out at once. They released like all six packs right away or something.
Yeah.
So,
I want to talk about Hate. The Kickstarter Hate. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't support Hate, what's fucking wrong with you?
Now, my favorite line in that whole thing is like, your 11 members won't come back, and that's a fucking problem. That cracked me up.
So for those who are unaware, Coolman You're Not is releasing a new, essentially Chaos Warband, the game. It's called Hate. It's all done with art through Adrian Smith, who did a lot of the initial designs on a lot of the 6th to 7th edition fantasy stuff, fantasy chaos stuff. He's great. I love Adrian Smith.
He drew
Smith's
lots
art.
Of chaos boys.
He did cover art for lots of Guar albums.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's a very heavy metal artist.
Heavy metal artist. It's really cool stuff, but they released a board game based upon his illustrations, and it's called Hate. And they released a video for it, which is fucking hysterical.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I'm not quite sure what they were going for. Like, if they were going for that, if they're going for funny or not. That's the question I wanted to know.
If they weren't going for funny, they failed. Yeah. Because it was very funny.
Were they going, but here's the other thing. Were they going for, like, that 13-year-old, like, toxic masculinity kind of, like, red pillar
thing?
You don't think so?
It's too silly. It's too silly. There's no way that could be serious. Like,
I saw a lot of people that were upset about it.
But that's because everyone takes things too seriously. And there's no, like, I don't see how you could take that seriously.
Well, yeah,
like, it's so silly. Like, there's no, just the way it's projected and presented is like it's funny. Like, it's a silly little, like,
yeah. Well, that's what I thought about it, but then we elected Donald Trump, so I don't understand what people think anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, we elected a huge joke, so
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, some people
also
truly
funny.
Believe in it. Like, I think it's funny. Like, I'm like his campaign, this is hysterical. But then, like, when people started believing what he said, I'm like, oh, this is no longer funny.
Well, you know, it's the 5% theory.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you go watch the video and they're just like, they will fucking eat your head
and shit you out.
Yeah, and you're just like, what in the world is? And the game doesn't look that great to begin with.
No. The models look fucking up.
The models look great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like, it looks kind of messy. It looks like it's very Kamani.
It's very cool, and you're not. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows what kind of games they make, so.
Yeah, if you like that type of thing, it's all power to you.
Yeah.
I know Cliff just got his the Japanese Kickstarter, whatever that one was called, Rising Sun. Yeah, he got the Rising Sun.
There's another game that came out, Nemesis.
Yes.
That game is like triple what
Hate is. Yeah,
and Nemesis is from a completely unknown.
Yeah,
studio.
And that game doesn't look that great either.
It's got that one. I was totally confused by, like, I was like, that game looked to me like would be it would like. That game screams successful on Kickstarter, which means, like, it's going to meet its goal. But it's a phenomenon, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of has, like, a weird Aliens versus Predator vibe to
it,
doesn't
it? Yeah, but, like,
yeah.
It's nothing about that game, like, shouts to me, like, smash hit to me. But,
I was watching it on my phone, like, laying on the couch, and I'm like, I don't get any of this. What does this mean?
I don't know, dude.
Steve, what does it mean?
I don't know. I don't know. Stop asking me questions.
Oh, my God. It's so stupid. I don't get it.
I watched the second season of Nostalgia Things.
Nostalgia thing?
Yeah, Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of it?
Things? I don't know. It was like, there's a lot of fucking filler in that show.
Yeah.
Like, for something that's supposed to be a 9-part miniseries, there's episodes where literally nothing fucking happens. It's like, why is everyone just talking? This episode, you could take it out of the show and you'd never know.
Yeah, that's a lot of Netflix stuff. I've had a revelation about Netflix.
This is rough.
Recently, where it's Netflix and originals and Netflix movies. There is something to be said about studio interference. Whether, and not on the large scale, but there should be like a producer or someone, an exec who says, you know what? This needs to be tightened up. This needs to be removed.
Yeah.
And this doesn't make any sense.
Dude, Netflix originals are all over the place.
They really are.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, people love fucking Stranger Things too. So, you know, my opinion is irrelevant.
Well, Stranger Things is an example of something that really works for them. I think the pacing that they do on that show works well. I don't like binging Stranger Things. I like kind of spreading it out over the course of a week, watching all the episodes one at a time, so that way I'm not overwhelmed by it.
Let me tell you, as someone who just kind of just left it on, went straight, it was kind of a snore fest.
You can't do that.
And I was like, it had some moments that were okay, but like, I don't know, it was very rehashy of the first season too.
Yeah,
it was kind of like.
There was one terrible episode. The one where she goes to, like, Chicago.
Oh, my God. That was so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And there's, like, the gang of, like, punks. Like, what is this?
They're street toughs, Steve.
That was fucking...
You don't like the street toughs?
No. That was really dumb.
Well, because I watched Bright. Did you watch Bright?
I enjoyed Bright.
Did we talk about Bright?
We did not
talk
about Bright.
I don't think we talk about Bright, because Bright should be something we talk about.
Yeah, Bright was solid.
Shadowrun the TV
show. Yeah,
it
was Shadowrun the movie.
I don't think it was solid. I think it was fine.
It was fun. It was a fun Shadowrun movie.
It was a great waste of 2 hours. That's basically what it was.
It was Big Willie style.
Big Willie, exactly. It was big.
That was a perfect Will Smith movie. If only Netflix had also greenlit a second Will Smith movie, so I could have had a Big Willie weekend.
Well, this is what I talked about when I was talking about it with Kevin, because, you know, from Comic Logic, Kevin was like, "Oh, I don't know, it's getting terrible reviews." I go, dude, you have to look at it like what it is. It's a late 90s Will Smith blockbuster movie.
And it totally is that.
That's exactly what it is. It's racially tone deaf. It's sexually tone deaf. Like, there's homophobic. It's totally racist, sexist, and homophobic. But that's what it was in the late 90s. I should say, but it's not like overtly homophobic. It's just slightly enough and just racist slightly enough that you're like, this doesn't really quite work in the 2000, you know, teens or late 2000 teens, but whatever. Like, this movie came out in 1998. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm just imagining in my head this movie came out in 1998. We just had no idea that it came out in 1998.
It's a rediscovered classic.
The plot doesn't make much sense. The world building is kind of meh.
It's fucking Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally Shadowrun. Like, the only exception is that Shadowrun is a bit more futuristic.
Yeah.
But as far as
it's a bit more cyberpunk.
Well, yeah, futuristic.
Well, it's a lot more cyberpunk.
Yeah, well, it's futuristic. It's got, like, they've got, like, crazy-ass guns, and there's, like, fucking, like,
yeah,
you know,
I got 16 megabytes of memory in my head.
Yeah.
I could store a picture.
Got a gig of memory in my head. It's leaking.
Gig of memory.
Yeah, it's good. But yeah, I like that. And then,
I think it was a gig. I think it was less than a gig.
I think it's small. I think it was like 500 megabytes. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
It sounded like a lot at the time.
It's got 32 gigs.
So
in there.
It must have been a gig. It must have been something about some level of gigabytes.
I'm gonna look this up.
Look up Johnny Mnemonic's head memory. And I watched Ash vs. Evil Dead. I watched that.
Yeah, I love that show.
That show's really good.
Yeah. It's everything you want in an Evil Dead movie.
Yes.
Just spread out over 3 seasons.
Yes. Is there a third season?
That's going to be coming out next month. 320 nice. Gig.
Okay, 320 gigs, which was absolutely unheard of at the time of that film.
Yeah.
It was absolutely insane. Like, I'm pretty sure computers were at, like, I think a good computer was like 800 megabytes at that time.
Yeah.
So that's like an absolutely unheard of number. And no one could have predicted how fast we would smash through computer memory. But yeah, I think the best Netflix original anything still, I think, is BoJack.
BoJack
Horseman.
BoJack's
the best one.
BoJack's got some great stuff with it. It's it's a hard watch.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? The anime they've done is really good. But it's like,
bad, but not many people. Most people with lives don't watch anime, Steve.
It's a weird.
It's a grab bag.
Because they're producing it, but like they don't really have a hand in it like they do with BoJack. Like,
yeah.
It's more like Netflix gives the anime studio money.
Oh, that's what happens with BoJack. They don't do anything with BoJack. They give the people money to make it, and they make it.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with Netflix is that I think that studios have kind of a right idea where an exec has to say, like, this is great, but, you know, let's fix this up. Because right now the problem with the studio system in Hollywood is that they have too much power. Everything has become bland, generic, designed for China. It's like the Disney World of entertainment, where we're just like, everything's bland, everything is kind of tasteless. We're striving for something new, something that you know.
But nobody wants to take that risk.
Nobody wants to take the risk. Netflix is doing that, and they're taking the risks, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. Like, they take a risk, and they put out BoJack, which is great. And then they do not Daredevil, they do Iron Fist, which is terrible. So, you know.
I didn't think any of those Marvel shows were, like, that good.
I know we've disagreed on this before, but I say Daredevil Season 1, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are phenomenal.
I think they're all kind of too long.
Well, they're too long, yes. The three episodes need to be cut from all of them. Three episodes worth of material need to be cut from all of them.
I think they're all a little too long. And that's, I think that's my biggest issue with all of the Netflix like series, except for BoJack. BoJack has no filler because BoJack's just good.
Yeah, BoJack is all filler. Yeah, that's the that's the thing.
Yeah, there's no filler in BoJack because it's all filler.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I'm trying to think of some other good. Devilman Crybaby was really good.
I haven't seen that one.
They did some good movies. Their horror films are very bad.
Yeah. Well, Babysitter.
Wait. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Babysitter was great.
Babysitter was good, and so was Little Evil. They're serious. No. They're serious.
Little
horror
Evil.
Film.
Little Evil was one of the ones where I first started to notice like the cracks in the system. Where I'm like, a good producer would have caught some of these problems.
You're really good at handling people who run at you.
I just watched the one that about the National Lampoon. I like that one quite a bit.
I didn't see that. Their serious horror films are not good.
No.
Like there was a couple. They're just like kind of like.
Well, they're putting out.
The horror and comedy are like, I think, the two hardest genres to make really good movies out of. Because comedy being because it's like super subjective. So like.
Yeah. And comedy is really hard to do, especially nowadays, because comedy has to sell only to America. They've done enough product testing to know that American comedies do not sell overseas to anyone. They don't get it.
I don't think any culture's comedy crosses over too much.
I think there's a few. Yeah, I think we get the British comedy a little bit, and the British get American comedy a little bit.
Well, it's because we both appreciate dick and fart jokes.
We do. and the comic stylings of Matt Berry. but yes, I think that there's but I think the difference is that like smarter Americans tend to get British comedy a little bit more, and the lowbrow Brits tend to get American comedy a little bit more. So it's like you get the weird. It's hard to cross over on the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Germans don't get our comedy.
It's because it's not efficient.
It's not efficient comedy.
This is not an efficient joke.
We will tell the jokes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that'll be it. Joke time is over.
You've taken 6 minutes to tell this joke. It should have been 3. Get out the gong.
The rule of threes in comedy does not work in Germany. We get the rule of one. You'll get one chance to tell joke.
Now, where is my pretzel?
What's my pretzel?
Hans, bring me my pretzel. Did you play Wolfenstein 2?
Not yet.
No. Oh, you should. It's fucking great.
I don't have time to play video games, dude.
It's so good. Make time.
I don't have time. I have 2 children.
Well, that's your fault.
And I have a Sons of Horus army at home.
That's your fault. All of this is your fault.
I got a Horus Forge World model.
Mm-hmm. Horus.
But his nose was broken.
Nice.
So he kind of looked like Voldemort.
Nice. Did you just leave it?
No. So I'm not really great. I'm not a sculptor at all, period. I'm pretty bad at it. I mean,
I sculpted a plague bearer once that was actually coming along really nicely, and then someone dropped a book on it.
Yeah, I'm not great, but I know enough how to sculpt the nose, like
sure,
just the basic of it. And so I put the nose on there, and I did it over the course of like 3 days, just gradually building.
Do you have
up
a Michael Jackson Horus now?
No, but he's like the real Horus model has a very thin nose, very I don't know how to describe it, but just like a very thin, long nose. Mm-hmm. Very British, but it looks a little bit like Tarkin's nose, right?
Okay.
When I finished up, he kind of looks like Vladimir Putin. I'm looking at him like, kind of looks like Putin.
You made
now.
A Putin.
I made a Putin nose, which is okay because he's Horus.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on point.
Have him shirtless riding a horse.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. With like that kind of like grease.
Yeah.
And then make an Alex Jones with him as well. Also riding a horse.
Shirtless.
Yeah, shirtless Alex Jones.
Is Alex Jones Angeron? Is that who Alex Jones is?
He would definitely be Angron. Yeah, just, for sure.
Just running around shirtless with Jadex.
Just yelling.
Just yelling. And then Steve Bannon would be Mortarian.
Yes, because he's a decaying monster.
Yes, he's a decaying monster. Okay.
Although, I don't know if he'd be Mortarian because Nurgle's kind of jolly, and I don't think there's anything jolly about Steve Bannon.
That's true. I think there is. I mean, he's a little... And then so Trump would be Fulgrim?
Who's Fulgrim is the Emperor's Children guy?
Yeah.
No way.
No, not with the perfect hair and everything like that. The perfect sweeping hair.
No, he'd be like an imitator. Like
he's that new Nurgle that's slippity.
Sloppity Bile Piper. Yes, Trump is a sloppity Bile Piper.
I love that name, Sloppity.
Sloppity Bile Piper.
Why took that long to get a guy named Sloppity into 40? Into
it's not even a specific guy. You can have multiple
Sloppities.
Yes, you can have plenty of Sloppities. I got one Sloppity and one of the Scrivener.
Slippity Sloppity.
Because I found that
Scrivener, not that great. Sloppity's pretty good.
Oh, your name wise. I was gonna say, like, no, they're both pretty strong. I find our hero space is at a fucking premium with that army. There's so many hero characters, and it's so difficult to find, like, I want to do this and that one. So
especially when you're shoving in a green and clean one.
Well, the green and clean one list, I have no other heroes. It's just three good and clean ones.
I can't believe you're running that list.
And you take the thrice fold befoulment. So you get that thrice fold defilement is 160 points, but I think it's very worth it because it makes their torrent spell like the stupidest. It like affects every, instead of one unit, it affects every unit.
No, that's cool.
For each of them. So you just keep casting it. But yeah. I think I would use Rodigus.
Rodigus?
Yeah. Well, because like the list is any three grid and clean ones. So you can use three grid and clean ones or Rodigus and two grid and clean ones.
What about the
Rodigus doesn't have that spell that's buffed by Thricefold Befoulement, but he has his own spell that's like very strong.
What about the Exalted?
He's not in there.
Oh, you can't run the Exalted.
Actually, no, you could because he's got the tag Great and Clean one. Because okay. the War Scroll is just Great and Clean one. So yeah, I could run two regular Great and Clean ones and an Exalted. That would be fucking strong, actually. That would be good. I might do that. All right, cool. There you go. So
you're welcome, Steve.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, that'll be very strong.
Because I know you have an Exalted.
I do. He's fucking insanely hard to kill. Like he is very.
He's
difficult
Exalted.
To kill.
Yeah. It's not called the easy to kill unclean one. He's the Exalted great unclean one.
That's the thing. And that list, the way that list works, is you take the three great unclean ones, you put your army behind it, and you just push them forward, and they just cast fucking spells as they're going because they all have to be next to each other to get the bonuses. So they actually just have to be a big block of great and clean ones,
and that would probably be very difficult to kill.
Yeah, really hard because they all heal. They all self heal every turn.
Oh, you know what? You know we're over time, but I wanted to mention something about
sloppity bile pipers.
About sloppities. This is sloppities. No, I learned something about the malign portents.
Mm.
So from what I've been told from some higher ups, but some
folks in the know,
that malign portents is literally just kind of like, so the first wave of Age of Sigmar, the first few years, were the Realmgate Wars.
Yes.
This is just the next section of Age of Sigmar. It's not a box set. It's not anything. It's just
the progression of the story.
The progression of the story. And it's not even of the story, because this is just a section of the story. So like you think of all of Age of Sigmar as a timeline. Realmgate Wars was the first chunk of it.
Mm-hmm. This is the next chunk.
This is like a different chunk that's not necessarily the next in progression. It's just farther down the line. Huh. This is a slice of time.
That's cool.
In the Age of Sigmar universe, because a lot of the current story, like the books and stuff from Age of Sigmar, are all in the current timeline. So all malign portents, Realmgate Wars, it's all already occurred. Mm-hmm. A bunch of stuff has occurred. This is just a slice of time that's what this new wave of all of the Age of Sigmar books and campaigns and stuff are going to be based off.
Cool.
Because that whatever the campaign they're doing in the summer that's going to be coming out, based off, you know, not Firestorm, but the other one, mm-hmm. it's going to be the same thing. So don't get your hopes up for malign portents as anything more than just the cover name for everything. It's just like how Warhammer Underworld's Shadespire is not called Shadespire. It's Warhammer Underworld.
Right.
You go to any store, they're like, what are you playing for Underworlds? And I'm like, what the fuck is Underworlds? you mean Shadespire? They apparently, all of the store managers got yelled at because they were calling it Shadespire.
You should call it Underworlds.
It's Underworlds.
Well, I mean, I think that's going to make sense because I fucking know that they're going to do another wave and they're going to start with a box set and it's going to be Warhammer Underworlds blank. It's not going to be more Shadespire. It's going to be a different one.
I hope it's Undertaint or Warhammer Underworlds Steve's Taint and it's all Nurgle based.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. I you know, I would really like to see a Carnival of Chaos. That'd be cool.
I mean, there's lots of fun stuff that they should do. They should do. Yeah,
they could do a ton of awesome stuff.
Like,
shit.
If I want to design an Underworlds, basically what I would do is Warhammer Underworlds Mordheim. And it would be, you'd have a Carnival of Chaos, that would be your Nurgle.
The Possessed.
You would have, like a Possessed, which would be more about the
Sisters of Sigmar.
I would do a Sisters of Sigmar. I would do maybe like a generic free guild.
I would definitely put the Caradhran Overlords in there. They would fit perfect into that.
Yeah, I mean, Caradhran Overlords, you could put them in there. So let's say I had to do six. So I do Carnival of Chaos, Possessed. I'll do Sisters. Free Guild.
Free Guild. Mm-hmm. Crowd and Overlords.
Yeah.
And then what would your sixth be? Beastman? Beastman would be cool.
Yeah, but if you're going by classic, it might have to be Skaven. Like Eshin?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do another. Yeah, Skaven are definitely very evocative of Mordheim.
Well, because they were the original release they got in there.
Yeah. I'd probably do them as the first. I'd probably do Skaven versus Carnival of Chaos for the first release.
No, first release would be cool. Would have to be Free Guild versus Skaven if I'm going classic.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then you could do that, and you get your six box sets out of there. I think that would work.
Totally. I think that's super smart. That game is so good.
That would be like pure nostalgia factor right there. People would buy it just for that.
If you're not playing Underworlds, like you're dropping the ball. Like you really should play that game. It's fast. Anyone can fit it into their schedule. Like if you're one of the people who have like aged out of being able to like play huge ass games of Warhammer like as much as you want. Shadespire is the game for you because you can go and play a shit ton of games of Shadespire in almost no time. It's super fun. It's competitive. Like, it's actually a competitive game. And there isn't, like, the level of, like, oh, that's fucking broken. It doesn't exist because you can, everything that's broken is like, oh, I'll just use that too.
I mean, because how much would people, like, lose their shit if they announced it as Warhammer Underworlds Mordheim? People would just lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the nostalgia factor of the whole thing. Sure. I mean, people lost their minds over Necromunda, and they have literally not said a single thing about a Necromunda release since...
The box set?
The Orlocks.
Yeah.
That's it. They haven't said a single thing yet. And so, I don't know. Who knows?
There'll be more.
The whole future of Necromunda is based upon Games Workshop's new action... No one cares. No one cares. It doesn't matter at this point. Everyone's playing 40K. All right, so go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can find me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Commandthrow.
Like the Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Like, best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. You can listen to our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, where Steve talked about his game of the year, which was...
Nier Automata,
which I gotta play, because you guys really sold it on the podcast.
Really fucking good.
I know, everyone's saying it, but do I have to, like, know anything about Nier Automata or anything like that?
Not a fucking thing. It's like... tangentially all of the Nier games are like,
well, that's what I heard. It was like related to a series, so I wanted to ask, right. Do I have to play
every Nier game is related to the other Nier games, but not in any important way.
Okay.
It's like if there's a reference, it's not like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's like, yeah. Someone who knows will be like, oh, okay, I know what that, like, there's a character in Nier Automata who was a character from one of the other games. But that is the only connection. It's like, he existed in this other game. That's it.
What kind of game is it? Is it an RPG?
It has stats like an RPG. It has real-time combat like Assassin's Creed, Devil May Cry. It has shooting stages like Galaga or R-Type.
Yeah. I'm terrible at those games.
It's not too hard.
It's one of the reasons why I've been avoiding Cuphead, because I'm generally not that great at those type of games.
Luckily, you can run up to things and hit the melee attack, and that's pretty easy.
Okay.
Also, the bullet hell stuff is way simpler, because all of the enemies shoot big orbs. Okay. Like, it's like very obvious, like, don't get hit by this.
Yeah.
And then there's hacking games, which kind of play like an old Atari game.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of game genres in it.
As long as it's got like the kind of Assassin's Creed style third person over the shoulder combat, I'm okay with that.
The majority of the game is that.
Because every game that you guys had talked about for best of, it's like, okay, you guys have sold me on that. I want to give that a try. Like, I've always wanted to give Cuphead a try, but it's still $20. Once that dips down slight a bit, I'll pick it up.
It'll be on a Steam sale at some point soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It might even be in a Humble Bundle, which would be ideal.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And then Nier Automata. I kind of want to play Breath of the Wild, but I also...
I don't think Breath of the... Like, I don't want to say it's bad, because it's not a bad game, but like...
Zelda glasses are crazy, man.
Well, I think Breath of the Wild is such a is a quality game designed very well. It's very good. There's a lot of polish on it, but it is it's not actually anything new in video games, but it's very new for Zelda.
Yeah.
Because all they did is they took the open world of Skyrim and put Zelda on it. That's really it. Like, that's the only thing. Like, so there's bosses that are all around. You can do them in any order you want, which is new for Zelda. It's literally that. So it's not like people are calling it innovative, and I'm like, no, not at all. Like, if you hear what they're saying and you just think in the terms of Zelda video games only,
Yes. Yeah. It's a very innovative, well, huge stride for the Zelda franchise, but not for video games.
People lose their shit over Zelda, though.
Yeah. Well, the game is good. I'm not. That's the thing. It's hard for me to, like, I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging it, because it's definitely a fun, good game.
It's just,
but it's not.
It's
this,
just
like,
Skyrim Zelda.
Right. It's not this earth-shaking thing. People are just like, oh my god, it's the best video game ever made, and it's like, no, definitely not.
Well, I was thinking about picking up a Switch for my wife because she loves Mario games. And so I was kind of like,
the Mario game's great. Yeah. Odyssey, it's really good.
But however, on the other hand, I'm also like, we just don't have time to play video games. Our children are insane, and there's no real reason for that. And speaking of children being insane, we also have Deconstructing Daycare as another podcast.
Right.
We talked about, Kevin and I, we want to get on that show just so we could talk about 70s cocaine and Sesame Street, like in the old 70s. Like, why is Stevie Wonder on there singing Superstition on Sesame Street? Like, everyone's all sweaty and covered in polyester, fine coating of cocaine dust everywhere.
On everything.
I think you see Gordon walking around with, like, cocaine spoon hanging around his neck and shit like that. Maria's got a coke nail on her pinky. Steve has those, too, but that's just because he doesn't cut his nails.
Yes. My nails are nice. Actually, I think my nails are trimmed. Yeah, my nails are kind of trimmed right now.
Yeah, those are still a little long.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, these are, like, very trimmed.
Yeah, nails should not make that clicky sound. Yeah, that's a little long. I mean, they're clean. I'm not going to argue that they're not clean.
I clean my nails.
They're cleaner than probably my nails.
Yeah, but I take care of my nails. I used to paint my nails all the time, but I don't do it anymore because I have to work in an office.
And you're also an adult.
Well, I also have to work in an office.
Yeah.
Like, I would still do. I used to do like cool shit on them. I just paint my toenails now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. It was always fun to paint. Like, you know, so I would do like chaos. I did one chaos symbols and stuff. You know, it's fun. I like painting my nails. Yeah. I always thought it was nice. But yeah, it's not not useful in my current life of office worker.
Is office drone?
Yeah, I'm an office drone, so there's really not much of a reason to try and look too much unique.
My daughter loves looking at like how to like paint the nails tutorials, and I'm just like, that's really easy to do. You just need the right brush. Mm-hmm. Like they act like this is like such a hard fucking thing. And I'm like, no, I do that all the time for fun. I just do it on little figures.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, the nail polish is different. Yes, you have to do that.
Doing it with nail polish is actually kind of hard.
Yeah,
what I always did is I did a base coat of nail polish, like a solid, like maybe black, and then I would do acrylic, like GW stuff. So like, let's say I'm gonna do a Nurgle symbol.
Yeah,
I would paint the Nurgle symbol on black, and then I would just hit it with the gloss coat.
Yeah,
and then you have a cool, you know, cool fucking Nurgle nail.
Yeah. We have Deconstructing Daycare, and then we also have Comic Book Logic's coming back. We just recorded an episode with a preview for 2018, the year that's going to be shit for comic book movies. I've looked at it, and I'm like, every movie that's coming out this year looks like it's going to be terrible.
What about Blanther?
Black Panther's the only one that I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that movie's going to be real good.
That movie's going to make all the money.
Yeah.
This is going to make...
Well, didn't it already pre-sell more tickets than any movie ever?
I say it's going to be the only Marvel standalone movie outside of Avengers that's going to break a billion.
It looks really fucking good.
It does.
Like, and you know me, I'm not usually like, oh, Marvel movies. I don't usually get hyped for comic movies, but Black Panther looks really fucking good.
Well, I think outside of like just like the idea and looking good, I think there's a novelty to it. And I think people are tired of seeing Marvel movies with all white people where it's just like, okay, let's see something different. Like,
I agree.
Like, I think movies are a great window into other worlds. Like, you get to see how people act and how people react differently than you. If you see every movie where people are acting just like you, it's boring as shit.
That's why every year you got to watch Madea Halloween.
Madea Halloween 2.
Boo.
By the way, it's Madea Halloween.
I'm sorry. I would never watch a Madea film. I hate Tyler Perry.
I've watched a lot of them. It's just not for you. It's not your thing. Madea movies are based off of the idea of the church play, a morality play. Have you ever, like... And you probably don't know this.
Is it like a Hell House?
Kind of. Like a Hell House type thing where it's like they would tell the story of a person who would follow down a life of sin. And then, you know, at the end they come to Jesus or they come to realize that family is more important or whatever the morality of the tale is. And then you have the character of Madea, which would be the comic relief in the play. They're all it's a very standard thing. It's very common in Baptist churches. I mean, not just African-American churches, but, you know, any sort of... Anglicized in you know that type of church, we just don't get that.
The body of Christ, whoa, so greased and muscly in tone. Body of Christ, whoa, what a body! Wish I could call it my own. Lord Almighty, I've never been so enticed. Wish that I could have the body of Christ.
I like it. What's that from?
South Park. Oh, okay. It's when Eric makes the Christian band and all of their songs are about actual love with Jesus.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Interviewed by them. Like, it sounds like you're actually in love with Jesus. I'm like, are you not in love with Jesus? No, I love Jesus. It doesn't sound like you're in love with Jesus.
So, for our 2018 year in review, and then we have Weeb Town.
Weeb Town. There's going to be a lot of Weeb Town coming up with the Dragon Ball Z fighting game.
Dragon Ball Z.
A phenomenon, by any other words.
How does the Dragon Ball Z theme song go?
The American one? It's Dragon, rock the dragon. Dragon, rock the dragon. It's a fucking terrible song.
Yes. And then the Japanese version is like...
The original opening is Chala Head Chala, which is like a very fucking like old
Jai-ho.
Sound. Yeah, it's not a... Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, obviously I watch a lot of anime. Dragon Ball's opening themes are always garbage. Like, they've never had a really good one.
Dragon Ball's kind of a garbage anime.
That's actually true. The original Dragon Ball is really good. But Dragon Ball Z, like anything past the original Dragon Ball is pretty much like, this is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. But I was the ideal age for Dragon Ball when it was on TV. If you're like 10 to 12, like that show, you're like, holy shit, that guy just blew up a mountain.
Yeah. So that's the end. That's Weeb Town. I think we got everything.
Yes.
Steve, until next... Oh, sorry, people. I know Steve's got this lined up, but this is going to come out late, and you're going to be yelling at me like, where's the podcast? Like the two people that usually yell at me, like, where's the podcast? But right now I have 4 6-year-olds at my house playing. I'm not going to be going home for another probably 2 to 3 hours just to try and avoid all that. So, so this will be up a little bit later than normal. I apologize. Whatever. So, Steve,
I don't apologize.
Until next time.
Bippity boppity, keep it slippity sloppity.
Game classy.